In a tightening job market, businesses are transitioning to a more flexible, tech-driven culture. What is the impact of that new technology on employee engagement and productivity? Find out when we return to the Transformation Minute from Comcast Business.
This is Tech News Briefing for Wednesday, December 18th. I'm Charlie Turner from the newsroom of The Wall Street Journal in New York. In a moment, we'll talk about billionaire investor Peter Thiel's considerable influence over Facebook's board of directors. But first, let's check some headlines. The Census Bureau announced Tuesday that it's setting up a task force to combat the online spread of misinformation about its 2020 population count. The task force will work closely with social media companies and community groups to identify any attempts to disrupt their efforts to accurately count U.S. residents. An accurate count is crucial since it helps the government allocate federal funding for roads, schools, and other public works. This is the first year that people will be able to fill out the questionnaire online, and the agency is concerned that groups could try to deter participation in the census by spreading false information about what the census entails, how it's used, and who's collecting the data. Whether they're successful is an early test of the government's ability to thwart disinformation ahead of the 2020 election. The popular mobile game Photo Roulette has led to cringeworthy moments for teens and privacy panics for parents since it became the most downloaded iPhone game in the U.S. in October. How it works? A player invites up to 49 friends to join the game, and all the players grant access to their phone's photo albums. The app selects a picture from one phone completely at random and shows it to the group. Other players have to guess whose photo it is. The risks might seem obvious, but teens have accidentally sent suggestive photos, private text conversations, and in one case, a photo of a Social Security card. Photos are removed from players' devices when the game is over, but they stay on the developer's service for 24 hours. And according to its privacy policy, the Norway-based app may store data about players from public databases and social media for up to 6 months and share it with outside parties. And one man's trash is another man's Amazon store? The Wall Street Journal has found that just about anyone can open a store on Amazon.com, and they can sell just about anything, including items they've salvaged from the trash, cleaned up, and listed as new on the site. To prove it, the Journal opened up its own Amazon store, DJ Co., where we successfully resold items found in New Jersey dumpsters. The company exerts limited control over its marketplace, which connects buyers and merchants around the world. In court, Amazon has argued that it's not liable for the safety of products listed on their site. Until late last week, Amazon's rules didn't explicitly prohibit goods salvaged from the trash. But after the Journal disclosed the existence of its store, Amazon said it had updated that policy. For more on this and all our stories, visit WSJ.com.
Welcome back to the Transformation Minute from Comcast Business. What kind of effect does new technology have on employee engagement and productivity? We asked Denise Hasty, SVP of Comcast Business.
Companies that embrace technology will be the ones to attract and retain the top talent. So with the ability to work from anywhere, barriers have become more fluid. But these experiences are also dependent on a great network that enables each employee to have the kind of experience that brings them back to work every day.
Facebook is one of the most influential companies out there, and it's one of the most scrutinized, facing investigations into many of its practices, from antitrust concerns to data privacy issues. Its leadership is increasingly divided over how to address criticism. Exclusive reporting from The Wall Street Journal shows that billionaire Peter Thiel, Facebook's first outside investor, has had an outsized impact on the boardroom. Here to explain is Wall Street Journal reporter Deepa Seetharaman. Deepa, Thiel is an outspoken conservative and holds many views that are pretty out of step with the rest of Silicon Valley, but he's forged a tight alliance with CEO Mark Zuckerberg. What can you tell us about their relationship?
The relationship goes back very far. You know, Peter Thiel was one of the first investors into Facebook. He was a mentor to Mark at the time, really helped him kind of understand the valley and provided him with a lot of feedback and ideas that were contrarian at the time, but really sowed the seeds for Facebook's future financial success. You know, early on, Peter Thiel was the one that advised Mark to focus on growth rather than monetization, which wasn't an obvious direction for the company at the time, but really worked out. And so, you know, Mark has looked at Peter and really seen somebody who has interesting, important perspective. He doesn't always listen to what Thiel says. He doesn't always follow Thiel's advice, but he always solicits that feedback. It's somebody that he really respects and somebody he really trusts. And that's something that we heard time and again from people who know Mark and who know the company really well.
Thiel has been a driver of major decisions at Facebook. One example you wrote about earlier this year, Facebook decided controversially not to fact-check political ads that appear on their site. And you found that Peter Thiel has been an influential voice on that policy?
Right. I mean, the timeline here, you know, Facebook had made this decision to not fact-check political ads a while ago, but their head of global policy, a guy named Nick Clegg, reiterated and really focused on that policy in a speech he delivered in September. And that sparked an enormous amount of controversy. And what our reporting shows is that, you know, Peter Thiel played an influential role in helping Facebook arrive at that particular decision. You know, Thiel has been a big advocate for Facebook not changing its policies to cater to widespread outrage or to cater to, you know, Democratic concerns necessarily, or rather the Democrats' concerns. And so there have been, you know, there are a lot of areas where Thiel has made his opinions known, and this is one of them. And, you know, that was an interesting finding to know that Thiel has been, you know, weighing in on a lot of political issues. And our reporting shows that this political ads topic is one area where he made his presence heard.
There have also been concerns about conflicts of interest with Thiel's roles outside of the company. He's the founder and chairman of Palantir Technologies, a data firm accused of using Facebook data obtained in the Cambridge Analytica scandal. What happened there?
So after Cambridge Analytica, there was a lot of scrutiny around Palantir's role in its handling of Facebook data from lawmakers and other users. I mean, Palantir is one of those companies that gets scrutinized a lot for, you know, its role, its ability to collect data. I mean, it's a whole other podcast. And but what happened here is that internally at Facebook, there was a heightened sensitivity around Cambridge Analytica and around what other firms could be misusing Facebook data. And in an attempt to get its arms around the issue, Facebook dispatched some executives and a team of employees to study this. And, you know, our understanding is they tried to look into Palantir to see if it played any role in Cambridge Analytica and if it had abused data. They looked not only at Palantir's role, they also looked at Thiel's role and to see if there was any kind of exposure. And our understanding is that Mark Zuckerberg and Sheryl Sandberg had explicitly asked for this review. Our understanding is that nothing untoward was found. You know, but it's sort of the anecdote kind of highlights one of these issues, which is, you know, there's a complicated relationship between Facebook and Peter Thiel. You know, he's a top advisor to Mark. He really helps Mark kind of think through a lot of decisions, and Mark trusts him. But then there are these other issues that happen, like all these concerns around Palantir, that create complications for Facebook.
Over the past couple of years, more than a dozen senior executives have left or are planning to leave Facebook. Three longtime board members have also departed. Has that moved the balance of power further in Thiel's favor? What can we expect him to net out?
So there are, right now, Facebook's leadership is in flux. I mean, there's a lot of people that have left in the last 2 years. A lot of people who'd been there for a decade, and they had been in senior roles from the beginning at that company. And so there aren't as many people around. There aren't as many old-timers, to the extent that you can have old-timers at a 15-year-old company. There aren't that many of them around. And so Thiel is still there. You know, he's been on the board for almost 15 years. He has been a big part of Facebook stories since the beginning. And so there is a concern among some people who know the company, who understand the company, that Thiel has kind of entered a vacuum, you know, a leadership vacuum, and been able to play an outsized role in shaping Mark's thinking around some of these complicated political questions, you know, because Mark trusts him and has benefited from his advice in the past. And, you know, I think there's a lot of other key advisors and people that have been around Facebook for a long time, you know, they've left. And so Thiel is still standing.
Facebook is one of the most scrutinized companies out there. And yet your story paints a clear picture of a boardroom that's deeply divided. As we head into the new decade, what does this tell us about Facebook's future?
I think that you should expect Facebook's controversies to continue. You know, that company is really under the microscope from all sides, you know, Democrats, Republicans, users, activists, liberals, conservatives. I mean, everybody is sort of examining Facebook and looking at it and scrutinizing it pretty carefully. What it shows, our story shows, is that there is a within the senior ranks of Facebook, you know, top executives and the board, there is, you know, somewhat understandably a lot of debate and a lot of differing opinions about how Facebook should move forward and respond to all this criticism. I mean, this is it's tremendous. But what you also have is a board that isn't, it's not on the same page. And the ramifications of not being on the same page, you know, at the top levels of this company, it could be that you see a lot more indecision, that you see, you know, one executive publicly saying something and another executive publicly saying the opposite. You could see a lot of confusion and indecision. And that could be a problem for Facebook especially going into 2020, which is an important presidential election year here in the U.S. So there are, Facebook's future remains uncertain given all these external dynamics and the internal ones as well.
Wall Street Journal reporter Deepa Seetharaman, thanks a lot, Deepa.
Yeah, thank you so much.
And that's Tech News Briefing. I'm Charlie Turner for The Wall Street Journal in New York.